This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Hello, and welcome to Needs No Introduction, fresh ideas from speakers of note. I'm Ellie Gordon-Marshall. Achieving equity in times of economic upheaval can seem to be an insurmountable challenge. One barrier to equity for First Nations people is lack of access to the public education system. David Purley is a sociologist and educator based in New Brunswick. He specializes in issues of Aboriginal education for the Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq people. He says that a language of harmony and official equity programs within the public school system will empower First Nations people to take part in the education system in unprecedented numbers. Here is David Purley.
Thank you for being here on traditional Wolastoq territory. My ancestors, before contact with European settlers, my ancestors used to gather here. At one time, before this area was called Fredericton, my ancestors identified this place as Ekpahuk, and they would gather and they would discuss political alliances. They would perform ceremonies, and of course, they would just renew friendships as well. So you had maybe about five or six different villages along the Wolastoq, and that's why we call Wolastoq Gewig, by the way. We're Wolastoq Gewig because we're along the Wolastoq. Our tie is to the Wolastoq. Our tie is to the land. So we want to really appreciate the fact that the Congress is here and to discuss topics that are also important to indigenous people and, of course, to the Mi'kmaq and Wolastoq Gewig. Basically, what I want to do in the next few minutes is to, first of all, look at the impacts of employment on Wolastoq Gewig and Mi'kmaq people during times of economic crisis. I also want to take a look at, of course, the impacts of economic crisis on existing equity programs designed to increase Aboriginal representation of within public and private sectors. And finally, I want to focus on, because my area is in education. I spent 15 years with the Department of Education of New Brunswick. My area is in education. I'd like to just share some ideas and some observations I made with regards to my experiences at the Department of Education. So I want to take a look at the education system and how the education system has been difficult in the sense of recruiting Mi'kmaq and Wolastoq teachers into the public school system. Now, first of all, just a note on terminology. You've heard in the past few days, you know, at least I've heard a few of the speakers identifying this area as Maliseet. That's not the term that my ancestors used in reference to themselves. The term that they used, of course, is because of the fact we're next to the Wolastoq, which is now called the St. John River. My ancestors used the term Wolastoq Gewig, or Wolastoqiyik, but it wasn't Maliseet. Now, in the early historical accounts of this particular area, the early writers used the French settlers used the term Eshiman, and I'm not sure what that means. I've asked a few of my friends who are language speakers of the French language, and they haven't been able to really define it for me what that means. And of course, early writers also used Maliseet, and then of course, it later became Maliseet. And then for the Mi'kmaq, the French, of course, started using the word Siroquois. Once again, I'm not sure what that means. And of course, they also used the word Mi'kmaq. And of course, today, the Mi'kmaq of this area here, and also Nova Scotia and PEI, they would prefer to use the last one, Mi'kmaq. They want to get away from the words Siroquois, of course, and Mi'kmaq. And their ancestral term that they use, of course, was Mi'kmaq. We need to ensure that students and, of course, members of Canadian society, members of New Brunswick society, We want to get away from what I call the language of disharmony. It's the language of disharmony because it does not respect our right to self-identification. My ancestors have that right, and they use the terminology that they themselves embraced. And I always encourage students to adopt what I call the language of harmony, because it respects our right to self-identification. We have that right, and we should, when we ask people to use the terminology of our ancestors, hopefully we will respect that right. I don't have too much time to give you all kinds of statistics. I'll be very brief. I'm just going to give you one table to make my point, which I'll do later. Now, in terms of unemployment rates, I looked at from Stats Canada, Human Resources and Skills Development Canada, the 2010 report. For 2006, the Aboriginal unemployment rate was 13.2. For the national rate was 6.3. And then we move on to 2009, the unemployment rate for the Aboriginal population is 14.8. And then, of course, for the national average, it was 8.3. And then, of course, I obtained a copy of a report titled New Brunswick and at the Dawn of a New Century. This report was tabled in the Provincial Legislative Committee in May of 2011, just recently. And in that particular report, the writers informed us that the Indian Brunswick, for 2010, Indian Brunswick, the Aboriginal unemployment rate was 33%, and for New Brunswick, it was only 15%. Now, what does this mean when you look at these two tables? Well, for me, my interpretation of that is, if you compare 2006 and 2009, for me, even during the best of economic times, a gap still exists when you look at the unemployment rates. So it doesn't matter if it's the best of economic times or the worst of economic times, we still have a major gap between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal in Canadian society, and in particular in New Brunswick as well, a much wider gap in New Brunswick. So for me, when I look at this information, I've also looked at other information, not just the statistics on unemployment. I've also looked at others. For me, the equity programs that are in place across the country, they're not working. They failed Aboriginal people across the country. It doesn't matter where it is. They failed because of the high unemployment rates and the gaps that exist between the Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. And then, of course, in New Brunswick, of course, New Brunswick has what they call the Equal Employment Opportunity Program, and that's supposedly designed to increase representation of Mi'kmaq and Wolastoqiyik into the labor force and into the labor market, but it's not working. It has failed. If you look at go back to the table, 33% for Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq, and 15% for the rest of the population. So the EU program doesn't work. Something else has to be done. Let's look at as a sample where we have an education system here in New Brunswick. We don't have an equity environment. Look at for September 2009, we have in provincial education system, we have roughly around 7,778 teachers in the public school system. We only have 6 Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq teachers in the public school system. For 2010, the following year, we have 7,747 teachers in the public school system. And once again, we only have 6 Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq teachers in the public school system. Something is wrong when you can't have more than 6 Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq teachers in the public school system. So in the public school system, when I spent some time with the education department back in the 90s, and I spent some time with NBTA, you know, trying to convince them to support equity programs that would recruit Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq teachers in public schools, there's absolutely no equity initiative within NBTA that would encourage and promote more Mi'kmaq and Wolastoqiyik into the public school system. NBTA has what they call the Equity in Education Committee. But when I looked at the terms of reference for this particular committee, it has nothing to do with recruitment of Wolastoq Gawik and Mi'kmaq teachers in the public school system. Nothing. It deals with complaints by teachers with regards to discrimination or racism, but in terms of, but it's the committee is silent on recruitment of Wolastoq Gawik and, of course, the Mi'kmaq teachers in public schools.
This is Needs No Introduction on Rabble.ca. You are listening to David Perley speak about educational opportunities for First Nations people.
In my day with the education department, when I asked the school district officials, and I asked them, well, why is it that you don't have more Wolastoq Gawik and also Mi'kmaq teachers? And they would say, well, we don't have qualified teachers from First Nation communities. And they're not applying if they're qualified. Well, if you look at the recent trend in terms of education for Wolastoq Gawik and Mi'kmaq, more of our people now are graduating. We still have a high dropout rate, but also we also have more of our own people graduating, especially from the B.Ed. programs. For example, since 2002, at UNB, we have roughly around 80 Wolastoq Gawik, Mi'kmaq teachers who have graduated from the B.Ed. program. They are qualified people within First Nation communities. And my guess is that the majority of the 80 Wolastoq Gawik and Mi'kmaq teachers, the majority of them are working within First Nation schools. And I'm hoping that the others will have an opportunity to work within district schools in the public school system. There has to be, to increase that number from 6 to maybe 50, maybe more, well, there has to be an equity program within the public school system here in New Brunswick. NBTA has to be more supportive in terms of having more of our teachers in the public schools. And I believe that if we have more of our Wolastoq Gawik and Mi'kmaq teachers in public school system, that will address a major problem in the public school system, which is inequality of results. Inequality of results in terms of the high dropout rates, low academic performance, curriculum issues. You know, most of our parents are asking for more Wolastoq and Mi'kmaq content in the curriculum. So when our Wolastoq Gawik and Mi'kmaq people graduate from high school, then they will have a strong grounding in their culture, a strong foundation in their culture, and have the skills that they need to make. They will move on at the university level. Of course, all of the studies identify two types of barriers. One, of course, has been identified as systemic, policy environment, lack of support for equity programs, for example, hiring practices. When I asked teachers, why aren't you applying in public schools? Why aren't you submitting your application in the school districts? They say, and their response, majority of them will say, well, what's the use? We're always being screened out. So they believe that it's just a waste of time if they submit their application into the school districts. And, of course, it's also attitude. It's a mindset, a bureaucratic mindset. A mindset that includes, of course, misconceptions held by the officials of the department as well as the district. It includes stereotypes, discrimination, of course, racism. Now, with regards to the mindset, I had to deal with this for 15 years while I was in the education department. There was, you know, when you're talking about, when I dealt with the NBTA, for example, what came back to me was that, well, if we have equity programs within NBTA, then what? It's reverse discrimination. We can't support that. We can't support an initiative that's designed to discriminate others. That's one excuse that they had. Another one is that, well, we can't support equity programs because Native people, Wolastoq Gawik, Mi'kmaq people, they feel they have special status in New Brunswick society. But when you look at the statistics, you look at the high unemployment rates, low income levels, high incarceration rates, the health conditions, and others, okay, that to me does not indicate special status to me. And it's certainly not special status when you have those kinds of conditions. And then, of course, they always say, oh, they want special treatment. I never want special treatment. I want a fair treatment. I want to be able to say that that system is open to us, the doors are open for Wolastoqiyik as well as Mi'kmaq people. And then, of course, they also say, well, there's lack of, there's no education, they don't have the education, they don't have the skills to be effective teachers. But that's not true. You know, when we have more of our people graduating now from universities, UNB, St. Thomas, and others. Okay. And then, of course, we have to deal with the stereotypes, you know, that the doorkeepers, or some people would call them gatekeepers, they have certain stereotypes, and those stereotypes are preventing the doors to be widely opened for everyone, including Wolastoqiyik and, of course, Mi'kmaq. These particular mindsets closes doors for us, for employment opportunities for Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq. We have to look at equity programs or affirmative action. I know there's strong resistance to affirmative action, because I've heard that resistance before. So, but we need to look at that and see what will be most effective in having more Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq. The future doesn't look too great when you consider the cost-saving measures that the current government, has adopted. And finally, and then of course, I'll echo Sean Atlio's new fur trade agreement. If we follow his call to action, and of course, this will create in the energy and mining industries. This will create employment for Aboriginal people in general. And that would be, of course, what struck me in his presentation Monday was the point he made. There would be about $400 billion in additional economic output if we can close the education and labor gap between First Nations communities and the rest of Canada. This alone should be motivation to have a strong equity program all across Canada. And then, finally, this is my vision quest. The three-pillar society, I don't have time to go into it right now, but I embrace the three-pillar society because, to me, in New Brunswick in particular, the history of New Brunswick is more than the history of Anglophones and Francophones. It's a history of Anglophones, Francophones, Wolastoqiyik, and, of course, Mi'kmaq people. Now, I have to include this. These are recent graduates. They're all graduated from the BEd program at UNB. I'm hoping that all of these, some of them will be in First Nations schools. I'm hoping that some will be in public schools as well. We have to open doors for them. And then, of course, just one final thought from an elder from my community. When I asked him, how do we improve conditions for Wolastoqiyik and Mi'kmaq? And his response in my language is K'tachwi Mawi Wiksunult Iben, which means that we recognize our strengths. All of us have certain strengths. We use that strength to be able to pull together towards a common goal and objective. We respect one another. We respect each other's strength. And all of us have gifts. And these gifts should be utilized to improve New Brunswick society, Canadian society.
That was David Perley speaking at a session titled Equity in Times of Economic Crisis. His lecture was part of the 2011 Congress of the Humanities and was recorded by Milena Stanoeva. This is Needs No Introduction on Rabble.ca. Fresh ideas from speakers of note. I'm Ellie Gordon-Marshall. Thanks for listening.